You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferris.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And it's time now for a check-in on the week's news here in Wisconsin with our resident news guy. Noah Ovshinsky is here with us in the studio. He's Wisconsin Public Radio's assistant news director. And Noah, welcome back to the show.
It is good to be here. Good afternoon and happy Friday, you two.
Indeed, happy Friday. Well, so Paul Ryan has emerged, as you said, as a central figure in the ongoing budget impasse and the government shutdown. What's he been up to?
Paul Ryan who?
I have no idea.
Just kidding.
Good.
All right. So as we all know, he ran on, you know, the ticket, Mitt Romney's ticket. Mitt Romney lost. I wouldn't say he disappeared, but he certainly, made himself kept away from the media. Well, he's back, to say the least, and he has found himself in the center of this ongoing budget impasse and government shutdown.
And what is his plan? He's got kind of, you know, maybe a golden ticket for people.
Right. So the House GOP and the president have been going back and forth now, really for weeks, but the government shutdown now is measured in many days at this point. But they've been going back and forth over whether or not to open the government and under what conditions they would open the government. Congressman Paul Ryan wrote an op-ed in The Wall Street Journal this week where he essentially laid out what he sees as a solution to this impasse. And what's actually quite significant about this particular solution is that it doesn't mention Obamacare, which is one of the things that, around two or three dozen GOP members in the House, they're looking to defund it and or delay the implementation. And that's one of the reasons why we have this partial government shutdown. Congressman Ryan's plan didn't even mention it.
All right. Well, what does it mention? It doesn't mention Obamacare, but what does he want to do?
Right. Well, this is a plan. This is a solution that I think many in the GOP, especially those who are moderate in the party, are increasingly latching onto. There are several reasons behind that. The one thing the president gets out of it is a short-term increase in the debt ceiling, which the president has been looking for now for the last several weeks. And in exchange for that, he will enter into serious negotiations with the GOP in the House over entitlement reform, tax code reform, deficit reduction. These are all things that Congressman Ryan and his colleagues in the House desperately want.
Now, looking into your crystal ball, is this going to be the thing that does it? Is this going to crack the code so that the government can move forward?
I think it's possible. I think it takes Obamacare out of the equation, which I think has angered some folks who are on the right side of the GOP. I think, of course, they want Obamacare to be part of this. But for those members of the House GOP who are looking for an out, like they're looking for an exit sign, a stairwell out of this mess, I think this is it because it achieves two things. It gets the president and the GOP back to the negotiating table. And it gets them talking about things that they really want to happen, which is entitlement reform, which is one of the things that are driving the large deficits that the country has.
Is it interesting to you that it seems like if you're a politician, you have to write an op-ed these days? I was thinking about how Putin wrote an op-ed and gave the Obama administration an exit sign with Syria. Now we've got Paul Ryan. He wrote an op-ed going, hey, guys, over here.
I think, it's interesting. Paul Ryan is an interesting figure in the GOP because many people still think of him as sort of the intellectual center of the GOP in the House, but also somebody who commands respect from both sides. He's seen by experts as somebody who can deliver the votes. Not only can he, negotiate, but he can also deliver the votes, which is important to getting this stuff passed. And so it'll be very interesting to see what happens here in the next few days.
Well, let's move on to the governor's race down the road. We have a candidate in the Democratic ticket already, Mary Burke.
And we're off.
As if we weren't off already.
Well, I know. But the campaign season has finally begun. And you're right. Mary Burke jumped threw her hat into the campaign, the governor's race this week. Now, it was long rumored. We've been talking about, the press at least, has been talking about it for weeks. Will she jump in? Will she not jump in? Well, she has officially jumped in. She's a very attractive candidate, I think, to the Democratic Party. party. You know, she has business experience because she was part of her family's business, Trek. She was an executive there for a long time. And she has a fairly large bank account, which I think is attractive to any candidate, regardless of party. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if another Democrat jumps in. It's a little bit too early to tell.
If you're Governor Walker and you're looking at Mary Burke, what do you see as her liabilities? Do you have any idea what he's going to focus on?
Well, with the online ads that I've seen since her announcement are any indication, and they went up almost instantly, actually, if you were to look on various websites.
Almost as though they were already produced.
Yeah. One would think that maybe there was some planning that went into this. You'd go online and you saw ads from the Republican Party right away. One thing that they're very much interested in doing is tying her to the Doyle administration. She was a commerce secretary under former Governor Doyle. And the Republicans here in Wisconsin are going to be very quick to point to Doyle and to point to Burke and say, you know what? She's a step backwards. Governor Walker is a step forward.
And he's said almost that already. So it's you're right. It's begun.
It has. And you know, make no mistake, the remainder of this campaign is going to be about jobs, 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 and the economy.
Okay. And just as a side note, before we move on from Mary Burke, she announced with a YouTube video.
Right, right. You know, in the past, there was a time when candidates would have a press conference and would take questions. That seems to be rarer and rarer these days. Now candidates are posting YouTube videos, very highly produced, really good production values. Watching Mary Burke's video, you know, it started with the sun rising over a barn. And it was, you know, it was very like, you know, it's morning in America, you know, like the commercials that Ronald Reagan aired in the 80s. So very high production values. It's one of those things that they can use to raise money, something that they hope goes, you know, viral. Of course, it doesn't give us reporters an opportunity to ask questions, but she did take questions later on that day at the school board meeting because she is a school board member in Madison.
All right. Well, we'll move on from there to a piece of legislation. The tenant-landlord bill passed a controversial vote this week. What's happening there?
Right. So the state assembly passed their version of this very controversial landlord-tenant bill. And generally speaking, it gives landlords more power to carry out evictions and allows them to hold tenants more responsible for damage. You know, it's one of those things that for the college towns, in this state, whether it's Madison or La Crosse or Superior or whatever, you know, this proposed legislation could affect those communities.
And so where is it right now?
So it has passed the assembly and it's very close to a version that passed the Senate, but not quite. So the Senate still has to sign off on the assembly's version. And if that's the case, I'm quite sure it will very quickly become law.
And critics not happy with certain aspects.
Yeah. You know, it allows evictions to take place without the presence of law enforcement. Critics would, you know, think that law enforcement being there is important. It gives landlords the ability to more quickly tow parked vehicles. Critics had said that may make it hard for people to actually find their vehicles if they in fact have been, you know, towed away. The Democratic view and really critics of this bill say, look, this is an erosion of tenant rights and really an attack on local control, because there are some communities in the state who may have extra protections for tenants. And this bill sort of negates those protections.
All right. Well, we have a last stop of our state news tour right now. The Rotunda arrests, a final chapter there.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if it's a final chapter. It's a new chapter.
It's a new chapter. So very, very quickly, the Department of Administration has settled a lawsuit with a protester who claimed that his constitutional rights were violated by the permitting process for gatherings at the state capitol. Basically, the ACLU, which brought this the lawsuit, says this settlement allows the singers to simply tell the Department of Administration that they plan to gather there and estimate how many people will attend. So they no longer will have to actually apply for a permit. All they have to do is let the DOA know that they're going to be there and how many people are going to be there. So presumably the arrests will even lessen, hopefully, or end.
All right. And the ACLU is happy so far. We'll see. Do you expect more action on this?
You know what? We'll see what happens. You know, as all things with the Capitol and protesting, as we've seen over the course of the next few years, who knows?
Okay. We'll leave it on that note. Noah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
That was WPR's Assistant News Director, Noah Ovshinsky.